Today is Mother's Day, and we're reflecting on Mother's Day and what that is. And you have a handout. You should have received a handout when you came in this morning. If you did not, just raise your hand, and someone will come along to bring one to you. It looks like we got one to everybody. So on there are the references that we'll be pulling from this morning. Not surprisingly, Proverbs 31. Looks like we do have Aaron in the front, Dwayne, if someone could get that to him. And Pat over here. So a couple more. They're coming, guys. Proverbs 31, Titus 2, 1 Timothy 2, and 1 Peter 3 is where we're going to pull from predominantly. And Mother's Day is interesting. In fact, when we give gifts when you leave, we give gifts to every woman, not just the mothers. And the reason for that, in part, is because, one, there's mothers that are mothers to children who did not make it to delivery. And just because they don't have living children does not mean that they're not mothers. And then there's mothers in heart through adoption or through other special, unique relationships. And it's actually a biblical idea that motherhood extends beyond the parent relationship. In fact, there was a moment, and that was in Matthew 12, where Jesus had a crowd of people around him like he often did, and his mother and his brothers were trying to get through the crowd to reach him, not really sure what their intentions were. His brothers didn't like him, by the way. And so they were trying to get to him through the crowd, and they couldn't get through the crowd. And one of the disciples realized what was going on and went to Jesus and let him know that your mother and your brothers are trying to get to you. And Jesus looked at the crowd of people and motioned to the crowd of people and gave this response. He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And in that, he opened up the reality that motherhood can extend beyond the parent-child relationship. Now, that's not to take away the uniqueness of the parent-child relationship. But the reason why it's unique is because of the relationship, not because of the specialness of that woman. Because in many ways, the traits of a mother are inherent in every single woman, whether they have a biological or an adoptive child or not. And so what we're going to explore this morning is related to mothers, but it's also related to just being a woman in general. And in our society today, it's increasingly becoming common where people have a hard time even answering the question, what is a woman? What is a woman? And they wrestle with answering that, and we know the reasons why, and I won't spend a lot of time in that space this morning, but some. But we wrestle with what is a woman, identifying what that is. Now, if we were to put our modern events aside and still just ask the question, what is a woman, we know that in the biological sense. But what did God design a woman to be? How, in the way that they live, did God design a woman to be? And so our modern events prompt me to ask that question. What did God design a woman to be? And in a month from now, we're going to discuss that about men. What did God design men to be? Because actually, our wiring, we're going to be best in that space in which we were designed for. So what did God design women to be? And so I looked through the scriptures to find what is the answer to that. And we find them in the way that God describes a mother, the way that God describes women, and then the way that God, through its many ways in the epistles, explains or instructs how women ought to live. And if God is describing this is the way women ought to live, then I think that's an indication of this is who God designed them to be, because why would God ask someone to be something that he didn't equip them and empower them to be? So what is it to be a woman? And how do we resolve our present issues that we find ourselves facing? Because here's the sad thing, is if we lose the reality of what a woman is, then we lose the blessing and the favor that God intended to bring into our world through women. And many of our things that are happening today is making us lose what women bring to the table. And ladies, we should not lose what women bring to the table. Because you guys bring, I say guys, you ladies bring a lot to our society, and we should know what that is and elevate that and honor that. So what is it that women bring? Well, women, I don't know if you know this, women are wonderful. I got only one amen out of that. That's sad. Women are wonderful. Now, why is it that when women are wonderful? Well, one of the reasons why they're wonderful is women get stuff done. I mean, if you know women, women get stuff done. The scripture refers to that. Proverbs 31:13 says that she works willingly with her hands. Verse 14, she brings her food from afar. Verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Verse 27, she does not eat the bread of idleness. Women get stuff done. Now, we were kind of talking about that idea somewhat in casual discussions after our discussion group on Wednesday night about how women can be in a conversation with you, okay? They can be talking with you and listening to everything you're saying and engaging in what you are saying. And then right in the midst of it can just be aware that over there one of her children is doing something they ought not to do and could just pause for a moment and say, can you hold on a second and correct that and deal with that real quickly and come back as if they never left the conversation. So somehow they knew what was happening in that conversation and what was happening over there. I can't do that. Okay, if I'm talking to you, the only reason I know what's going on over there is because I stopped listening to you. Or the only reason if I'm listening to you, I have no idea what's going on over there. But women have the ability, they just have this mother instinct awareness to be able to just get stuff done. When a woman gets sick, the stuff still gets done. When a guy gets sick, he's out. Because women get stuff done. And we know that women get stuff done, that's why we joke about men sometimes, about if we think in the household, husband and wife, and we think, which one's the lazy one, where do we usually, our minds usually go? Amen. Usually to the men. Now, we're going to correct some of that in a month from now, by the way, but that's where our minds go, and there's a reason for that. Because women get stuff done better and more often than men do. That's why they're wonderful. Women are wonderful because they exude wisdom. It says in Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 6 and Proverbs 23 tell us to not forsake the teaching of our mothers. Titus 2:3 says to instruct older women to teach what is good. The reason why ladies are able to teach is because they have something to offer. Intellectually and with wisdom, they have something to offer. In fact, we many times see this because ladies, and one of the ways that they're wiser than men, and it's just, see, the difference is, I think as I was praying through this and looking through the scriptures, in a lot of ways, men and women aren't all that different. You know, we talk a lot about how men and women are different, and in a lot of ways, the expectations aren't different. Men are called to be compassionate every bit as much as women are called to be compassionate. It's just that men have a superpower and women have a superpower. And one of the superpowers that women have is they are much more socially, emotionally aware than men tend to be. Because we sometimes don't even notice. Guys, have you ever just had a moment where your wife told you, boy, she was a mess, and you're like, I didn't even know she was a mess? There was something going on? Unless they specifically tell us there's a problem and I'm dealing with this, we just don't pick up on it often. But you ladies are acutely aware of what is happening emotionally in the people that are around you, and you just have that wisdom. You exude that wisdom. And should men learn and develop those things? Absolutely. But that's the superpower that you guys have. Women are wonderful because of that. Why do you laugh at that? Don, watch it over there. Women are wonderful because they make everyone feel better. Proverbs 31:20 says, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Isaiah 49:15 says, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? And the implication is no, not typically. Then in Isaiah 66, I am not going to read verses 11 to 13. I'll just reference them because of the vivid nature of them. You'll have to read it on your own. It's like now you're probably tempted to read it. It's very vivid imagery in describing the female anatomy. And in describing the female anatomy, it's demonstrating or speaking to the reality that women are built with a body that comforts better than the man's body does. In fact, if a child's going to want to snuggle with someone, usually who they're going to want to snuggle with is mom, because the mom has a body that's designed that feels better to cuddle with and snuggle with, right? And women have this ability to demonstrate compassion and a softness and a gentleness that is not necessarily inherent in a man. And women have a way to edify and uplift and bring warmth into a household. In fact, so when I leave to go out of town for something, which just recently happened, and when I come back, the kids are like, Daddy's home, and then just kind of like back to normal, you know, not much different. When Heather leaves and comes back, it's like the whole atmosphere is now better because she's there, because life went out of the room when she was gone. Women are wonderful. Women are wonderful because they not only make everyone feel better, they make everybody become better. Proverbs 31:11 says, she does him good and not harm, speaking about her husband. Proverbs 31:23, her husband is known in the gates. Now, if you were to read this proverb, you will see that the reason why the husband is known is because of how amazing the wife is. In fact, when I go, we're a part of the Pennsylvania-Delaware District of the Assemblies of God, and when I go to district events or sectional events, and people, and this just happened just a couple weeks ago when I was there, someone came up to me talking to meet this person, and I told them my name, Danny Levesque, and they said, Levesque, I know that name. I was like, you probably know my wife, Heather Levesque. Oh, yeah, that's it. Because of these things, I might as well introduce myself as, hi, I'm Heather's husband. Because women make their husbands known, because that's how amazing they are. Women are wonderful. Women are wonderful because they exude strength. Proverbs 31:17 says, she dresses herself with strength. Proverbs 31:21 says, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come, meaning that she's not concerned about tomorrow. She has no worries because she has a confident strength within her. Women are wonderful. And because women are wonderful, women ought to be appreciated. And women ought to be honored and praised. That's why that is actually the instruction in Scripture. Proverbs 31:10 says, an excellent wife is far more precious than jewels. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 23:22-25, do not despise your mother when she is old. Let your mother be glad. Again, Proverbs 1:6, the general call to not forsake the teaching of our mothers. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman so that your prayers may not be hindered. And then Exodus and Deuteronomy, as well as other places in the New Testament, state the commandment to honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you. And in both of those statements, the honor your father, your mother, and the instructions to the husbands on how to treat their wives, there is an attachment to it. That if we know how to treat the ladies in our lives, there will be good things to come for us. If we do not know how to treat the ladies in our lives well, then there will be something that will be lost. And again, it's why I fear for our society today as we're losing the specialness of what a woman is. Oh, I hope that we don't lose what God designed women to bring into the world. Now, in describing how women are wonderful, some of you ladies might be thinking, I don't really know if I'm all that. And some of you men might be thinking, or even you ladies might be thinking, I don't know if my mother was all that. Or husbands might be thinking, I don't know if my wife is all that. Because the women around us, though they are wonderful, they all have flaws and weaknesses. Just like each and every one of us men have flaws and weaknesses. And it's those flaws that cause people to be critical, but also causes people who have the flaws to feel incredibly insecure. To wonder if they are a good mother. To wonder if they are a woman that brings honor to the Lord. A daughter who is a good daughter. To wonder those things. And how could you not, when we read Proverbs 31 and the description of this amazing person? But I think that what would help us is if we notice the contrast that happens in verse 10 versus verse 29. Because in verse 10 it says, an excellent wife who can find? As if it's something that's very, very rare to find a woman who is like this. And what is the like this? It is the image of perfection. It is the woman who had reached the space of she is exactly what God designed her to be. That's hard to find because that's the ideal. The ideal is hard to find for any of us. And at times when we don't reach the ideal, we feel as if we are a failure. But the contrast is verse 29, which just struck me when I saw it. It says this, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. I want you to think about that for a moment. The ideal woman described in this passage surpasses them all. But that then means that the women who don't reach the ideal, did you catch that? The many women who don't reach the ideal are still excellent women. Did you catch that? Many, though there is the ideal that surpasses them all, many women are excellent. Ladies, you might have flaws that you are clearly aware of. You may have failed in different ways and may look back with regret on ways that you've been as a wife or as a mother and feel like that means you weren't a good mother or a wife. And I want you to know the Lord wants you to know differently than that. That we can, you ladies can, be an excellent mother and wife with the flaws that you have, with the weaknesses that you have. And yet there's still a struggle in all of that. And there is a wrestle that I myself wrestle with the way to interact with it. Because as I said, we live in a society in which there's some things that are kind of turned around. And there's some things that are backwards. And in the space that we're in today, me being a man is not typically accepted for a man to come in and speak to what might be a problem that relates to women. I mean, really, ladies, which one of you ladies would like for your husband to show up and tell you what's the problem? And so then I'm going to ask for your grace to reflect upon the society that we're in and what might be breaking down, taking away the uniqueness and the specialness of what a woman is designed to bring into the world. And I say that for us to be able to know how to impact the world around us because I know that all the ladies in here are the perfect woman in Proverbs 31. A 100 or more years ago, And this was actually a fight that began in the garden, but it manifests itself large scale in society, our society, 100 plus years ago. And that was the feminist movement and the fight for women's rights. And there was a right motive, at least in part, for that movement, because in many ways, men were not treating their women with the honor and dignity and the respect. Men weren't treating the women or in their lives in general with the honor, dignity, and respect that they deserve. It's why when Jesus was in the first century, a culture that was even worse than that as far as the value of women, he would often buck against that kind of notion, often very indirect ways and such, but he would push against it. And so there was legitimate reasons for why women needed to stand up and say, this is not right. But what I've began to discover with Satan is that it is amazing how Satan will take a very good and righteous and pure and holy pursuit and find a way to redirect ourselves to where the result is that while we were intending to bring good, all of a sudden destruction shows up. And not only destruction shows up, but the very good that we were trying to bring ends up getting lost in the process. And I believe that the enemy actually played a trick on our society in that while there was a good in trying to speak to that women ought to be treated with honor and respect, Satan took advantage of that. And what began to happen was we went from men mistreating women to women disrespecting men. And we went to reversing that. And I get it. And actually, when we talk to the men in a month from now, I get it because many of us men did that to ourselves. In fact, you know that the favorite verse of ladies, wives, submit to your husbands. I know they memorize it and have they post it on their mirror and their vanity. The woman who has a husband who honors and cherishes and respects her has a wife that willingly submits, typically. The husband who has a rebellious wife generally is a husband who does not love and cherish and honor his wife. And so in many ways, men are the reason why our society is broken in the way that it is. But what happened was, is women decided to swap roles around and change things up and open up the borders to where anybody and everybody should be able to be anything and do anything that they want to do. And in many ways, that is the right way to do things for some context. But it resulted in, at times, women removing from their household or removing from their society the very thing that God designed them to bring into society. And they did it because the men were awful. And so the women took their good out. And isn't that sad? The men took the good that they had to offer out society, and so the women's response was to take their good out, and now we lost it all. And that proverb that says that somewhere in there that a wise woman builds her house but a fool tears it down, it's the excellent woman who builds up, not tears down. And the woman who gets stuff done has now become at times a space in which, well, I'm not going to do everything around here. And that should be the reality, that the woman shouldn't do everything around here. But does that mean that, you know, we go on strike? And listen, my wife can tell you that I am in no way advocating that the wife needs to be doing all the cleaning in the house or all the parenting in the house, because she will tell you that I'm more clean focused than she is and do quite a bit of the cleaning. But we see in Scripture, and this works both ways, men and women, if somebody is not bringing to the table what they should bring to the table, the other person is still supposed to bring to the table what they're supposed to bring to the table. And that is, in fact, if you study the New Testament, that's how Paul believed that many women were going to lead their husbands to Christ, was because though that ornery, crazy, lousy excuse for a husband is doing nothing, she's still bringing everything to the table. And at some point, that just amazes someone to see that. That same thing with Jesus when he went to the cross, not defending himself, in complete acceptance of that, while doing everything right. At some point, those around them stopped and said, what are we doing to this guy? The tongue that was designed by ladies to bring life into the world and comfort into the world has now become sharp and critical towards men and towards people in general. It's just, that's just the nature of the sin nature anyway. It corrupts our good that we have to offer and makes it something different. We end up tearing down rather than building up. I just wonder if sometimes the reason for the response that is happening with women in the world, not in here, if it's not based out of fear. Fear of, what am I going to have to continue to tolerate? Fear of, I don't know what power I have in this situation. Fear. And Jesus was constantly telling us to fear not. We are not to choose to live out our lives out of fear, but to choose to live out our lives in an absolute trust in the Lord's work. And so, ladies, don't let the misbehavior of men make you no longer bring the softness and the love and the compassion that God made you capable of bringing. Don't let him take the specialness that is who you are. Now, we then begin throughout history to wrestle with the boundaries of what should women do and what should men do and those kind of things. And we might say, well, you know, I resist the idea that there is a role where this is good for a man to do, this is good for a woman to do. And you might bring up Galatians 3:28, which says, there is now no, therefore, neither male nor female, right? Well, I don't know if we are aware of this, but the trans community will use the same thing. It says, there is now no more male or female. I encourage you to read Galatians 3 because Galatians 3:28 has nothing to do with whether or not there is maleness and femaleness. What it has to do with is in verse 25 it says, now that faith has come, verse 26, in Christ you are all sons through faith. Verse 27, you were baptized into Christ. You have put on Christ. Verse 28, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, you are heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:28 has to do with, what do we have to be to inherit eternal life? What do we have to be a part of the body of Christ? It has nothing to do with gender. There is neither male nor female. We don't have to be male or female to enter into eternal life or to enter into his kingdom. But that doesn't mean that male-female doesn't exist. And because male-female exists, that means that there are natural, God-given superpowers and roles that are inherent with that. But we don't like to be placed in a box, you know. And I want us to think about for a moment, God's male-female roles does not necessarily reflect 19th century American male-female roles. Okay? Because there was a time when it was thought that the woman should do all the cooking. As if men don't also possess that superpower. But I know that some of you know that there are some men that are amazing cooks. Because cooking isn't inherently feminine. But there are some things that if we're honest with ourselves, there are some things that women are way better at than men are. And there are some things that men are way better at than women are. Depending on which gender we are, we don't really like to accept the other side of that equation. But it's the way God made us. In fact, that's 1 Corinthians 12, isn't it? that he made some to be the eye, the hand, the ear, the foot, that God intended that not all sufficiency wouldn't be wrapped up in one individual, but that it would be spread amongst humanity. And so we need women and we need men, because God took some of the superpower into the men and put some of it into the women. And so when we demand that everybody should be able to do everything, I just wonder, I want you to think about this for a moment. For right reasons, we began the buck against an oppressive treatment of women. And the response was that to open up all the roles for every woman to be able to do everything and every man to be able to do everything. And then because of that, at some point you find men in what are typically feminine roles, not just traditionally, but it takes feminine qualities to be good at that. And so the men that take those roles realize, to be good at it, I have to be like this, which means they began to pick up feminine qualities to excel in that role. And then women doing the same thing. There are some roles that it takes more masculine qualities to excel at, but women had to be able to be in every role. And so when they got into those roles and realized, to succeed, I have to behave this way, they took up more masculine qualities. I want you to think about this for a moment. 100+ years in the making, you end up in a place where men are trying to act like women, and women are trying to act like men, and then at some point we arrive in a space in where we no longer know what is male or female. And why do we no longer know what male and female is? Because we stripped all the boundaries and said that there's no difference between male and female. And now we're confused because we don't know if there is difference. Whether the physical anatomy is there or not, we have no idea if there's a difference between a male and a female. And what sadness that is, that to bring to our society, that we're losing the uniqueness and the specialness of what makes men special and women special. Not superior, we ought not to be at war with one another, but makes them special. And I, for one, would love to see the unique, special qualities of women routinely honored and present in our world. That's why it says in Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife. Now, it doesn't say he who finds an amazing, excellent, perfected wife. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And ladies, don't let the enemy tempt you in a quest for freedom to let him take out of the world the unique specialness that you bring into it. Now, and I'm glad that you guys did not respond this way, our concerns with our culture today, in my addressing that, is in no way meant to be a rallying cry against the LGBTQ community. Is there a morality that is problematic and inherently sinful in that? Yes. But like we've talked about a couple years ago, if you remember my message 2 years ago, that many reasons why the LGBTQ community is so aggressively pushing the way that they are is because of how poorly treated some of them were. And so we have to find a way to be able to stand for truth while not just completely disrespecting the humanity of the people that are around us. If someone is homosexual or transgender or non-binary or identify as a different gender than their physical anatomy, that does not mean that they don't deserve our kindness and our love and our respect for the humanity of which they have. Yet while doing that, we have to find a way. This is the, and I told the room when I was praying this morning, I said, you got to help me and pray for me, because I feel the need to both encourage the ladies among us and bring a challenge to them. That's not easy to do, to try to bring comfort and challenge at the same time. But that's the call that we have for our society in general today, is to bring comfort and love and acceptance while at the same time bring challenge to the way people view the world. Might it be that in trying to bring freedom to our own lives, we end up removing the very things that promotes human flourishing. And not realizing that it is the interdependency amongst ourselves that creates the wholeness. Not just a relationship with Jesus Christ, though that's necessary, absolutely necessary. But Jesus designed the body so that we would collectively see the wholeness come by us all being what we're supposed to be. If one's an ear, be an ear. If one's a foot, be a foot. If one's a hand, be a hand. I would rather not be the foot. But if that's the role that God has for me, that's the role that God has for me. And just like Christ, ladies, I don't know if you understand how typically a woman will express the character and nature of Christ in many ways superior to the way that a man would do it. And we'll address that in a month from now. But the call that God has on your life, it is absolutely impressive that you're able to live that out. Because you see, the Bible refers to the woman as the weaker vessel. Though not actually meaning that a woman is weak. It's meaning that typically, not all the time, I know that some of you ladies can beat me up pretty easily. And if I continue talking, that might happen. But typically, men are physically stronger than women. I think that's part of the reason for the fear and the assertiveness back, is because we know that. But it's that physical weakness in comparison that is the reason why women exude strength. I want you to think about this for a moment. The reason why women are so exemplary of the character of Christ is that women could be found getting so much done, but getting very little recognition for it. Well, does it take a strength to do that? That women can have so much wisdom and yet never being asked for any of it to be shared. That women could be showing so much compassion to people who are so unlovable. I mean, you look at the way a father deals with the unlovableness of a child versus a mother. That takes strength to do that. To be so impactful in the lives of those around them and yet not demanding to be seen. That takes some strength to do that. And you ladies exude that strength. I want you to know that you might not realize that when a wife, and I know this by experience, when a wife is loving and encouraging and supportive and there for her husband, that man is one of the most secure men that you will find. And not only that, one of the most capable, competent men that you can find. Ladies, you don't realize how much power you hold in your hands over the lives of your husbands, over the lives of your children, to either tear down the house or build it up. It takes a strength to do it from the angle that God gave to you. And that's why women should be praised. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? But there is a problem with the relationship between the ideal. Because even though we might excel despite having various flaws, God still expects the ideal. God still calls us to more. And many of us here are flawed. All of us here are flawed. And some of you ladies might wrestle with Mother's Day. I've found that Mother's Day is supposed to be a bright moment for mothers, but in many ways it's often not. As a woman wrestles with her security of whether or not she is a good mother or a good wife. And it's in that distance between what is seen as the ideal and where you might be, there's a anxiety and a distress over that gap. And there is a need for comfort to show up and strength to show up from somewhere. But where? Or many of us, perhaps you don't have a mother who wasn't there for you, didn't love you the way we just heard, the way a woman is amazing. You didn't have a mother that brought you into that life or brought that into your life. Or maybe your sisters or your friends, or maybe you don't have a wife at all, or maybe you have a wife that's not there for you, and you, the qualities that are supposed to come into our lives through the hands of a woman is not available to you. And you might say, well, how am I supposed to receive those qualities into my life? And you could begin playing as you feel led. The amazing thing, and don't misunderstand this, because it describes God as being able to exhibit some of the behaviors of a mother, though not identifying him as a mother. Okay, so I hope you hear me. God is Father. He is described in masculine terms. But he has this ability to come in and supply something that typically only a mother can supply. And so if you're a woman wrestling privately with your insecurities, God is able to come in and supply the strength of being the mother, the wife, the woman that you aspire to be. And if you're a man or a woman and you need the favor that comes into our lives when there is a good woman with us, though God may be masculine, he can bring those qualities in. Don't believe me. Isaiah 66:13. As one who is mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The comfort that only a mother can bring, God can actually bring that into your life. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her youth? But even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. A determination to never leave you nor forsake you, the kind of bond that typically only a mother can bring, God can bring that bond into your life. It was Jesus that said in Matthew 23, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. You know what one of the most encouraging parts of that statement is? You were not willing. Want to know why that's encouraging? Because that means that all we have to do to receive all the favor that a mother typically supplies that God could bring into our lives is to be willing to let it come into our lives. Are you willing? You find yourself, ladies, needing to be encouraged, comforted. You seem to be unseen, and you want to be seen, then begin coming your way to these altars and let God supply the strength of being a woman that only God can supply. He created you to be that, and the comfort that you need. Or ladies or men, if you're here today and you need the favor that typically only a woman could bring into your life, that comfort is for the taking, available to you by the Holy Spirit. And so if you need refreshed, renewed, loved on, cherished, delivered, uplifted, strengthened, the Holy Spirit is here to love on you, far exceeding any earthly mother's ability to do. Come and seek him this morning. If you would just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. Ladies, you're here this morning, and boy, are you wrestling. Your children are what they are. And you know, as Scripture even indicates that feeling, that they are what they are as a reflection of you. And that hits you. It hits you in ways that cuts deep. And the Lord wants you to know that you're not so broken as you think that you are. You're not as weak as you think that you are. You excel as a mother, as a wife. But you need to feel that assurance and that security. So I would like to pray for you that the Lord would give that. So if your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and that's you, you're wrestling with that, just raise your hand. Say, that's me, and I'd like you to pray for me. Good. Anybody else? Good? Good? Or maybe you're here for various reasons. You've lacked the affection, the warm touch of a person in your life, and you need that affection in your life. The Lord can bring that. But you're broken, you're coarse, hard, because you haven't known being loved, being treasured. That's why we're described as the pearl of great price, that he would, the one for the 99, that he'd leave everything for us. That's how much we're valued by him. And you need to feel being loved and treasured by your Heavenly Father. Then with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you need that, just raise your hand and let me know that you need that. Good. Anybody else? Good. So Lord, you see these hands. And we ask that you would bring comfort to those who are seeking to be loved. Lord, that's not an insecure thing. That's a weak thing. That's a design thing. You have designed us to give and receive love. And so I ask, Lord, that you would come in like a flood right now and let them feel the warm touch of the Holy Spirit. Let them feel the love and the affection that you have for them. Let them feel you treasure and value them. May they know the love that only you can give. And for the ladies that are finding themselves wrestling with insecurities, wrestling with the reality of present flaws or past flaws, that you would help them to know, Lord, that you still did a work through them and that they are capable of being the amazing mother and are the amazing mother and wife and woman that you've created them to be. Help them to lose the insecurities. Perfect love cast out all fear. Help them to lose the insecurities and find that strength that only you could bring, that assurance that only you could bring. We ask for it, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So ladies, again, happy Mother's Day to you. And there'll be our traditional gift when you leave this morning. And I encourage all of us, you have ladies in your life. They need to be treasured. Your moms, your sisters, your daughters, your wives, friends. Let's honor the ladies in our lives. Amen. So next week we'll get back to some pain and suffering. We'll jump back into that. But this time we're going to jump into, what do I do when the pain's outside of my control? I didn't do any of the cause of it. Now what do I do? I can't get rid of it. I'm stuck with it. What do I do when I'm stuck in the pain? We're going to find that out next week. But love you guys. God bless you. See you next Sunday.